In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, Paul says that my strength is made perfect in weakness. So here was Paul, an apostle of God, admitting that he had weaknesses, and only through his weaknesses could he become strong. Now think about that for a moment. Through his weaknesses could he become strong. How is that possible? What does that even mean? Well, it wasn't the weakness that he had which made him strong, but it was overcoming it which gave him that strength. This is very relevant for us today, since we all have weaknesses that we must fight to overcome. This is nothing that is easy. We have to fight it. It is nothing that is easily overcome, but only through faith, prayer, and repentance. Now, if we didn't have any weaknesses, then we would be perfect. And we know that that is not the case, since none of us are perfect. And don't think you're the only one that has a weakness. Each and every one has a weakness. Like setting up, for example. Forgot to set up the speakers. No wonder we can't hear anything. So anyway, every person in the Bible had a weakness. Even some of the greatest who were men of God had weaknesses. Can everybody hear me now? All right, those of you watching us don't really know what's going on, but we only had one speaker set up, so the sound quality was off. But now it is better. So many of those people that were in the Bible that are mentioned went through trials that seemed impossible to get through, but strength was on their side. So as I go through some examples, we should think to ourselves if this actually applies to us. Now, one example, which is very fitting, would be Job. Job had many trials, probably many more trials than we have ever gone through. He lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his possessions. He lost his health, his health was deteriorating. His health was affected. And even after all that, listen to that, even after all that, he was not angry towards God. How many of us can say that if we've been through something that drastic? However, he did have a weakness, and that was his self-righteousness, which he did eventually overcome by acknowledging God's power. And as a result, he received back more than he had before his trials. Now, many of us would think that self-righteousness, at least let's just say in the world, what? Self-righteousness? That's not that big of a deal. Well, it may not be to humans, no, but it is to God. And here's a perfect example of that. Samson had an incredible gift from God, which he took for granted. His weakness was women. They were more important to him than God was, and every time he got into trouble, he never looked to God for help. But he decided to fight his own battles instead. How many times have we been in that situation where we do not put matters into God's hands, but into our own, thinking we could solve the problem? So what happened to Samson? Well, he was killed. But before he died, he realized what his sin was, and he repented over it. He had finally overcome his weakness. It took all his life to realize that, though. Moses had a weakness, and that was anger. It was very easy to get angry, or it is very easy to get angry, and it could be very difficult to control. So do you consider yourself easily tempered? You know, I'll admit that I'll get that way sometimes. Not so much the anger part, but I'll get easily frustrated on certain things. And it's usually over the silliest things. Driving, for example, which I do every day. Being cut off. A million things go into my mind at that moment. Thinking about, boy, if I didn't stop in time, what would I have done? I would have been angry, would have been wasting my day and all that. I get cut off every day. But the question is, how am I going to control it? Somebody says something that I don't like or I agree with. How am I going to respond? You know, for the most part, I'm pretty good at getting over things quickly by not dwelling on them, depending on what the situation is. But it's fair to ask, do we sometimes make others angry by what we say or do? Have you noticed that it is more work to be happy than it is to be angry? What do I mean by that? Well, simple. We're not living in God's world. We're living in Satan's world. And he is just the opposite of peace and tranquility. Have you noticed how much more of an effort it is to maintain peace? It's very easy to snap. It's very easy to jump on something right away if there's something you don't like. But how easy is it to maintain peace or to respond in such a way where, let's say, the other person doesn't expect? Something goes wrong. What is your initial reaction? Do we have thoughts of doubt, worry, discouragement during tough times? Yes, we do. But it is all about how we control ourselves. What is it that Christ would do in such a situation? Notice 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. First Peter chapter 2, verse 21 through 23, we read, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." And also in chapter 3 and verses 8 through 11. "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it." Unfortunately, there were some who were not strong enough and as a result just gave up completely, like what happened to King Saul, for example. We have to make sure that we do not fall under that category. Judas had a weakness that he did not overcome, and that was money. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 13, we know that he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He was greedy for money. And that is very dangerous because riches had the better of him. Just like that one individual who asked Christ in Matthew 19 what he can do to inherit eternal life. And when Christ told him to sell everything he had and give it to the poor, he didn't want to do that because money was more important to him. He didn't quite see what Christ was getting at. He was blinded by riches. Hopefully, we don't have that kind of an attitude. And we should all know where money comes from anyway. Sometimes we may think, when times are really tough, that we are not being blessed. But think of it as more of a test that we need to overcome. Because that is exactly what it is. And also think about who it is that we go to for help. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 and 27. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Each one of us is unique. We all have various strengths, and we all have weaknesses. Each one of us knows what they are, and we all know what it is that we must work on. So if there is a certain weakness we are having trouble with, we should make it a priority to overcome it. Satan is very intelligent. Let us not forget that. He will attack us on the very things that we are most vulnerable in. Each one of us is different. We all have our different types of skills and weaknesses. And that's what Satan is going to attack us with. We are called out of this world for a reason, and Satan knows that too. Which is why we need to be vigilant at all times, especially now before the feast, because we know, or Satan knows, that his time is short. He knows what the feast symbolizes. He doesn't want us to succeed. That's why he's going to attack us. But he can only do what God allows. Think of what happened to Job. See, God allowed all that to happen to Job. But why? To please Satan? Now, to teach Job a lesson, which he did not see yet, and that was very serious in God's eyes. But Job did see that finally. Yes, we are all going through trials. And yes, there are reasons for them. Again, we are the few that God has chosen, and Satan knows that too. And our trials that we go through are different than those outside the church, because we are in a separate category who have been called to the truth. And we are not given to time and chance. Rest of the world is. We are not. See, we know what the Bible teaches. We know what is true. And we know when we go through trials, there is a reason behind it. God is aware of everything we go through, every trial. Why is it we go through trials? We go through them for our own benefit. Romans 8, this is still there, next verse in 28. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, not our purpose. He is molding us into that perfection. We may not see it sometimes when we go through trials, but that's exactly what he's doing. So we still need to overcome our weaknesses and replace it with righteousness. And once we do that, God will be pleased, and so will we.